World's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Gotta talk fast today. Gotta talk fast. A little bit different here this morning. Our buddy Dale Socia lives down there in New Orleans, down there, gives us those crawl dads all the time. He got in his car and he drove to North Carolina, and he's with what I would consider probably the greatest influence in my life ever, Flip Benham. And the Flip was the director, national director of Operation Save America, the first really, really strong on the street abortion protest group. I hate to use that term, but pro-life group. And, you know, I spent many, many, many summers and events going with Flip to various places trying to save the unborn babies. And Flip's he's not the director of Operation Save America anymore, but he is certainly he's the godfather of it all. So we got this about 15 or 20 minutes, and they got to go someplace. So I'm going to shut up. Flip, come on in, man. Hey, Flip, when you leave, I got a bunch of videos I'm going to show people, stuff you did, and things we did and all that. You got 15 minutes here with a bunch of Flip, what I would call new activists. We're old folks, but they're starting to get their feet wet and get out and yada, yada, yada. So, dude, let us have it here, man.
Well, okay. Listen, Coach, it's so good to see you and that smile on your face. I mean, you are a happy warrior, and I love that. And you are true to the word of God, and I am as much as I can in the days that God has given me. That's what I'm going to do. But I saw a movie, Coach. I saw A Great Awakening. Have you seen it?
No,
I haven't. Came out on Friday. Great story. But the gist of that movie is before there was a revolution, there had to be a revelation. And boy, back in the 1730s and 40s, that great awakening took place in America, because America and all the colonies were battling against each other, and nothing was unifying them, and they were all different. And then this great awakening, this George Whitefield came to this continent from England, good friends with Charles and John Wesley, and he came to bring the gospel of Christ here. And Coach, he turned the world upside down in these 13 colonies.
Without the internet, without cell phones, without any of that.
He was riding a horse, and he was riding fast. But you see, and the great relationship that existed between
Benjamin Franklin.
Pardon me?
Benjamin Franklin.
Benjamin Franklin. How did you know that? That's Dale Socia. He's telling me how to do that. You know, and he hadn't even seen the movie, but he and Ben Franklin became great friends. And Ben Franklin, at the end of his life, really began to follow hard after Christ. Now, before, he was pretty much a deist, but after Whitefield and after that experience, that revelation to Benjamin Franklin, he became a powerful man of God and was the one who kept the Constitutional Convention going. What I want to say, Coach, is it's the same battle. We're fighting it. Donald Trump hadn't learned it yet, but he's going to learn it with Islam. We've got three choices with Islam. We can be killed by them, we can kill them, or we can convert them to Christ. Now, which one are you going to choose? Donald Trump hasn't figured out yet that those people are going to die for what they believe in. This asymmetry that we have, this battle between this great America and then this little guerrilla outfit in Iran, and they're going to die for, they are not going to be, they will lie to us, they will do everything that they can, and no matter what Donald Trump does. Now, I think this is just this is just God dealing with Donald, saying, Donald, there's nothing you're going to be able to do to actually win this thing unless you kill them, be killed by them, or convert them to Christ. The answer Donald Trump is going to find out is Jesus Christ. And you know what? The guy is open for that. He is one of my favorite people because he is more powerful than God is using the jawbone of a donkey to perhaps wake up the sleeping pastors in this country that have lost all sight of that. I think Donald Trump trusts God more than most of the pastors actually believe him. And the reason I'm saying that is because God is using that to inspire them to go. And then they give us this great movie called A Great Awakening, which prepared the way for the Great Revolution, where we overcame the great army and nation of the whole world at that time, which was England. So, Coach, the battle is the same. We're here, and God has called us to fight it. And you know what, Coach? You're doing a really good job representing our Lord. The Word of God, the theology of heaven, is becoming biography right in you. I'm so proud of you, Coach, and so glad to see what you're doing. And you know what? You're burning, but you aren't burning up. Man, you're Amen. Burning in the oil of the Holy Spirit. It's just whoom. And I watch you and I say, yay, Coach, come on, write some more, speak some more, and go give them heaven.
Yeah, all right. Quit bragging on me a little bit. Folks, those of you who don't know, Reverend Pastor Flip Benham actually baptized Norman McCorvey. Norman McCorvey of Roe versus Wade. We know that name, right? Norman McCorvey. Flip, tell us real quickly, just that, real briefly, that story.
That's Jane Roe versus Wade, exactly. Look, it didn't take long. She hated me. She couldn't stand me. She'd leave messages on her answering phone and do everything. And so God just opened up the door so that we could move our national offices in Dallas, Texas, right next to her abortion mill. We were there in the parking lot. And when we started with the moving trucks came in and they were putting all the computers inside, she called the police. She went nuts out there. I mean, she was apoplectic, but all she did was call the media. And so Roe meets rescue. There's going to be violence. Well, there was violence. It was in violence of her heart that the violent, you know, this kingdom of heaven advances violently and violent men apprehended. It came right to her. And it wasn't long before Miss Norma came and we would talk together. I would share with her stuff about it, take her to church. And then I went to her church, which you wouldn't even believe that thing. And then little Emily and Chelsea Mackey, who were daughters of our administrative director, Rhonda Mackey, they would just love Miss Norma. They said, Miss Norma, would you come to church with us? And she'd say, no, honey, Miss Norma's not coming to church. But she gave her heart to Christ. Those little girls took her to church. And then Norma, and she publicly went up and she asked Jesus into her heart. And the heavens broke. The heavens broke. Everything just wide open. And you see that this is abortion. It's not an issue, a political issue. It's a gospel issue. It's a battle over who is Lord and whose laws reign. And so it really just shook everything all over the world. And the picture of us and her getting baptized were amazing. Where you see that what changed her was Jesus got into her life. Jesus did. And this battle was always at. This was this little girl that had attempted suicide three times, lost in lesbianism and all sorts of drugs and just meaningless and purposelessness. And she comes to find that meeting with Jesus, which totally transformed her. And she became an excellent, just great voice for little baby boys and girls waiting to be born. Coach, this is what you bring to us. And I am thankful to God that you're doing it. And there are Amen. Others that are doing it too. But buddy, Amen. You are apologizing for the name of Jesus. You aren't Amen. Compromising that name. You aren't doing anything but bragging about him.
Amen.
So God bless you.
I learned that from you. It's always a gospel issue. I learned that from you, Flip. It's always
everything.
Issue. Now, Flip, I know we only got about 10 minutes left. If you could, Flip, I'm going to show you some. I'm going to show some videos after.
Okay, go ahead.
Some things you've done. Hey, Flip, where do we go from here? You know, we got the works. We got the Roe versus Wade overturned, whatever that means. But there,
yeah, we got more abortions now than we had before then.
That's right. That's right. Where do we go from here, Flip?
Where do we go from here? Right to the throne of Almighty God. That's where we go, because he's the one that's doing it. What he's showing us is that you can't do this. And what he's showing to Donald Trump is no matter how big the army you have, and you have all the chariots, you have all the horses, but I'm going to tell you something right now. It's not with horses and chariots that you're going to win this battle. It's with the Lord Almighty. And he is just looking to us to repent of this. Have we repented of the killing of little baby boys? Nobody's doing more murder than we are right now with the little baby boys and girls in the womb. Come on, Coach. And you think God is just overlooking that? No, he's showing us the impossibility. If little Iran can stand up against you, and that guerrilla warfare can stand up against you, he's showing you, Donald Trump, you can't fix this. And he's showing a lot of us conservatives, Donald Trump can fix this, but he's doing a great, you know, I love, he's a flying buttress on the church. Whether or not he's a Christian, I don't know, but he's at least keeping the church alive and, you know, and helping us to do what we're supposed to do. So the church is the answer. We are the answer, the ecclesia. Coach, we can win this battle in 6 months if we'll go out to the, if we'll just take care of the issue.
Amen. Flip, I tell people all the time, I learned it from you, that you don't have to be a man of God to be God's man. And Donald Trump is clearly God's man right now, isn't he, Flip?
No question he is. And he's using Donald Trump as that. He's hammering these pastors saying, why don't you get a spine? Why in the world can't you do this? I'm doing it with Donald Trump. He thinks it's him. It's not. Amen. But and you know what? Like Ben Franklin, I believe Donald Trump, he is so close to the kingdom. If he's not already there, but really in bad shape. And if you read the Bible, you'll find out that the whole thing is all of his people are dysfunctional. We put the unctional in dysfunctional.
Oh, Flip, I need you on for about 4 hours before you go there, Flip. I've known you since a long time, man, long time. What happened to the pulpits from your, as you look back over your shoulder, what happened to the American pulpit?
What happened to the pulpits? It's been going on for a long time. I can just tell you, in Emerson Hall in 1905, which is the philosophy department of Harvard College, well, Harvard University now, but Harvard College then in 1905, they built the big philosophy building, and they were going to put on that philosophy building this statement, Protagoras: man is the measure of all things. That's what they put at Harvard College. Now, Harvard College was created in 1638 with our Pilgrim forefathers to raise up preachers. That's what the whole thing was about. But you'll see every generation, you've got to have an awakening. You've got to have a revelation that goes on, and you see that God is really at the bottom of all of this, and he's the one. And we've just got to shout his name out loud, and he'll take care of all the rest. We don't have to worry about strategy, anything. Well, at Harvard College, they were going to name it, and they were going to put on that, man is the measure of all things. That's Protagoras, Greek philosopher way back. And when the students came back, the building was completed in the summer of 1905. When the students came back, do you know what they have? And it's still there on Emerson Hall, the building for philosophy at Harvard College. Who is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of man that thou visitest him? Holy smokes, that they put the right thing up there, Harvard, and it's still there, and they are still dumb. They don't see the Almighty King, and you're going to serve the kingdom you see and become like the God you worship, and that's what's happened to the pulpits. We're serving a kingdom that we see, and we are becoming like the God we worship, and the God we worship isn't the God of this book. We've lost him. But we're the ones that are lost. We're trying to find. He says, you're lost. Just come to me and I'll take care of everything. Now, the question is, do we believe it? And the answer is, I believe it. I believe it. I know you do. And you're going to say so. So But you know what? We can't beat people over the head and make them change, but we can live out this light, and they'll see courage. And they see courage in you, Coach, and they see courage in Dale, who's out there and fighting the battle. And I see courage in a lot of people that were you don't even know about them, but they're faithful and true, and they are strong. And when people see that, I want that. And that's what we need.
Hey, Flip, you are magnetic. I can just tell people that are watching, you are magnetic, right? But you know what, Flip? In all the times that I've ever known you and places we've gone and all that kind of stuff, it was always, always Jesus first with you. It's always Jesus first, isn't it, Flip?
Yes, sir. It's him. It's him. And we're going to an adult teen challenge meeting with a bunch of drug addicts that are just coming off. We get them in the first phase. And, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous has moved the name of Jesus out. Everybody's running away from the name of Jesus. But teen challenge is standing strong there. It's Jesus. He's the one that's going to save you. He's the one that's going to help you. He's the only one that you need. Stop looking everywhere else out into the heavens, trying to figure out if they're aliens out there and all of the conspiracy kind of stuff. There is one God. His name is Jesus. And we don't have to apologize. We don't have to compromise. And we're not going to give up on him. And we're not going to let up or put up or shut up until he is lifted up in us. And then when he sees us, our banner is going to be clear. And you got it right on your head.
Flip, one more thing. I'm going to let you go. Way I understand the Bible says in the last days, God's going to pour out a spirit upon all flesh. Would it be wrong to say, Flip, even though we think so much about the end times, rapture, am I wrong to say that the greatest revival the world's ever seen is in front of us?
Okay. Before there was a revolution, there was a revelation. You're preaching the right thing. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it.
Amen. Flip, we love you, man. Thanks.
Love you, Flip, back, Coach. Great to see you.
Let's pray for Flip Benham, folks. Flip has a medical condition he's dealing with, so that is a hero there. Dale, thanks for having him on, and Flip will have you on again.
We're going to hang because he's driving us there. Pray for us, because if you've ever sat in a car with Flip Benham driving, you need prayer. I need a crash helmet.
All right. So you guys keep listening. And Flip, I got some great clips of you I'm going to play. We're going to talk about it here a little bit. But God bless you, man. Hey, Father, we just ask right now that you touch Flip, top of his head, soles of his feet. Healing is the children's bread. And as I heard Flip say many, many times, boy, run that race. And Father, help Flip continue to run that race. We need him in this battle. We pray a covering over him and over his family and over his boys and his daughters and his grandchildren. And Father, just be glorified through the life of Flip Benham. We thank you for him in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thanks, Flip. I'll have you on again. I haven't called you because I just don't want you to have to get up in the morning real early. Boom. Okay, I'm going to show you. Hey, folks, before I get you in there, I got to show you a couple. I got to show you some clips, all right? I just got to show you some clips. Bring up number one. Now, let me stop a minute. Here's how I met Flip Benham. Operation Save America is an organization that he started. And I was the football coach at London High School, and I was going through that whole mess with the ACLU and all that stuff. And Flip and Rusty and some folks at Operation Save America were doing a walk across America. Literally. They walked across America. And one of the places they were going to come was Columbus, Ohio. So I got a hold of Flip. I said, hey, Flip, man, how about stopping here in Columbus, Ohio? And he did. And I was never the same. And we did. What year would that have been, Paul? That would have been 2000, probably 99, 2000. And forever radically transformed my life to understand that the gospel belongs in the streets. I was never the same after that. And we raised all kinds of hell in Columbus, Ohio. Good hell. We raised hell. R-A-I. We raised it. We burned hell down. And that forever impacted my life. And more than anything I ever did, that was one of the things that drove me out of coaching. I said, I can still play. I can still play in this game. And I learned to be able to play in this game. And I'll play this. This is about, this is 7-12-16. Oh, that we would have men like this in America today. This is Flip Benham with his 3 minutes addressing the Charlotte, North Carolina City Council. Three minutes, 15 seconds of heaven. Go ahead and play that.
Miss Mayor, Council, good to be with you. What I just heard Mr. Mitchell read was just this, and the way that you received it was just a way of putting your middle finger right in the eye of Almighty God and saying that we are God, that we determine what is right and what is wrong. We do. And this book is just discarded, this book called the Bible. You know, it tells us in the Bible, just a word, unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor, labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stands guard in vain. In vain you rise up early, toiling, doing all of your things. And God grants sleep to his beloved. Miss Kinsey prayed a prayer. I don't know if that was in the name of Jesus or not. She covered pretty much a number of bases, and that was interesting. But there is one God, and his name is Jesus. And we're going to stand for him in this city. You started the ball rolling on February 28th with this whole transgender issue. You, Miss Roberts, purposefully decided that you were going to go ahead and do this. You were going to try and make transgenderism, sexual orientation, sexual identity, now as somehow a civil right. Ma'am, you cannot make a moral wrong a civil right. You have no right to do that. It's a moral wrong. God has said, ma'am, I'm speaking.
Let him have his 3 minutes.
I'm speaking. And ma'am, don't interrupt me, please. You do that all the time.
No,
whenever I speak.
I interrupted the group to let you speak.
Ma'am, that's all right. They can say whatever they want to say, because if God doesn't fix this city, if God isn't the answer, if God isn't at the foundation, you're going to have bloodshed coursing down the corners of our streets, our schools, and our workplaces, and you're not going to have a police force big enough to stop it. Because when you sow bloodshed in the womb and the three abortion mills here in this city, you're going to reap it in the streets. And our God is a God of truth. And these things happen. And when you cast God behind your back, violence always comes in to replace the void. That's why we've got in our schools right now, we've got metal detectors and policemen, because they're trying to stop the gangs and violence and drugs that our kids are being turned over to. And now we got this transgenderism nonsense. Listen, it's not a sin to be black. But it is a sin to be a practicing homosexual. It is a sin. It is not a moral right. It is wrong. And you need to say so. And you've opened up the doors of hell on our city. You and this council. And you need to repent. I'd like to offer up a reward to you that if you'll repent right now in the name of Jesus, there will be peace returning to this city. Now, Miss Roberts, what will you do?
That's your 3 minutes, Mr. Benham. That's your 3 minutes. Your time is up.
Boom! Huh? By the way, Right Wing Watch is the one who posted that video of Flip. They ain't friends, right? They ain't friends with it, right? Right Wing Watch. Let me show you, then I'm going to open it up here. Pull up number five, Flip at the Mosque. Folks, Operation Save America, they cover it all, man. They cover it all. This is in Columbus, Ohio. It was raining that day, and we went to the mosque. Huh? Most people would be afraid. Afraid of those Muslims, right? Now, Flip took us to preach at the mosque. Go ahead, real quick.
We come to you with some good news today about what makes America free, what makes her a nation where all religions can gather. If you'll notice, in Saudi Arabia and anywhere where there's Sharia law, there is no freedom of religion. You either convert to Islam or you die. That's simply the way it is. In America, however, it is different. There is freedom and liberty here so that you can practice your religion here. How many churches do you believe are in Saudi Arabia? The answer would be zero. Zero. Not one church. You see, there's only one God, you say, and his name is Allah. Let me tell you that you didn't even know that name before 622 A.D., before Muhammad had his false revelations. I want you to know that you worship at the Kaaba in my goodness, and a meteorite-type stone, and you consider that somehow holy. You have no idea what you are talking about, and you are deceived. And your deception makes you hate, and hatred becomes your drug of choice. The reason that we are here today is not to dialogue with you. The reason that we are here today is to slay your false god. It is no god at all. Allah is a lie. Allah is not God. There is one God, and his name is Jesus. You say that you believe in Jesus. You say that Jesus is a prophet. Jesus said, before the Father was, I am. Now here's what you say about Jesus who saved a wretch like me. You say that Jesus was not crucified on a cross. That is a lie from the pit of hell. That is a lie. Jesus died.
Hey, folks, you got to realize this, man. What time period this was when we went and did this. What does it say the year on this thing, Spencer, down at the bottom, when this would have been 14 years ago after 9/11, everybody afraid of the Muslims. Dude goes right at their teeth, right at their teeth. And, you know, while the rest of us are playing 14 years ago, amazing. While the rest of us are playing patty cake, I'm okay, you're okay. Flip and Operation Save America always confronted the truth. I'm going to open it up. I'm going to show you one more clip and I'm going to open it up. Flip on the Ladder. This is an abortion clinic in, I think it's North Carolina. I can't remember exactly where we were. And they put a barricade and wouldn't let us up there. So Flip went out and got himself a step ladder. Behind the wall is the abortion clinic. Go ahead.
Ladder out of our bushes, Flip. You're trespassing well into our property line.
He's preaching to him from the ladder over in the parking lot where the women are going in to murder the babies.
You're the fool in the public square. You're trespassing, you old idiot. Get down from there. I have video of you standing on there right into our property line. Are you crazy? Yeah, that's right.
The property line's at stake, so you're over it.
You are well over it, and guess what? Yeah? Here's another thing to rack up on Flip Benham.
Okay, you can get it off. You know, look, Flip's attitude was always, folks, we always had the threat of arrest. Always had the threat of arrest. Always. And Flip said, hey, they arrest me, I'll just go into jail and preach it. Those guys in there, they need to hear it more than anybody. And,
hey, coach.
Yeah.
So that was 700, that was the Hebron abortion clinic. And because they continually went there, that place closed down. Do you remember that was the night we had the OSA event and Ronnie Wallace, they tried to get Ronnie Wallace out of the fire department came. He wouldn't come down. He kept preaching. And that night when everybody left and the police were waiting for him, lightning struck the transformer and burned the electrical to the building and shut the clinic down. And it looked like the Keystone cops and Richie, and he came down out of the thing, got in his car and drove away. That's that clinic.
Amen. Let me throw you something else that, real quickly, because I know Flip is very proud of this. Number three, pull up his sons. There's his family. Those are his twin boys. Now, hey, Dale, can you hand the phone to Flip? Can he talk to us here a minute?
He's driving, but he can talk.
Okay. Here's what I want him to explain. His sons, his two boys, David and Jason, had a show on what network was it?
HGTV.
HGTV. They had a show. They were popular. They were really, really good. And, of course, you know what happened, right? The homos came after him. The atheists came after him. And HGTV took their show away. Could you talk about that, something about that flip real quick?
Oh, yeah. They came after them because they were coming after the old man. And they had to suffer a lot because that, well, that homosexual community began to associate them with me. And all hell broke loose. And all heaven came down, believe me, because now God said, okay, I don't want you on HG, homosexual garbage TV. I'm going to give you a platform. And, buddy, they've got a platform now. They're traveling all over the country. I mean, God has blessed their real estate business, has blessed them, has blessed me, has blessed us and so many others. And he got them on this. So they have an opportunity every month. They're out with Life Search. They're traveling with Tim Tebow and Nick Vujicic, Priscilla Schreier, all of these people that are really calling people to the, you know, into the marketplace to bring the gospel into the marketplace. And in order to do that, you have to be a marketer yourself. You have to be someone that can create wealth. Well, you become someone who can create wealth and value when you're following God's principles. And so God has given them this platform now. They're speaking to tens of thousands of people. Coach, that's something I never got to do. They're sitting in green rooms all the time when I was out in the street with you, you know, doing what we were doing. And, you know, they thank me all the time. They say, Dad, you know what? We sit in these green rooms and we'll tell them about you. You're out there in the streets, out at the abortion mill, and we're here. And it's because of the Jesus that we serve that God has given us this platform, and we're going to be faithful to do it. Buddy, they are. Oh,
Flip,
so
really, really important question. Can you hear me okay? This is really, really crucial. How did you not lose your boys, Flip? How did you not lose them to the world? And talk about the importance of taking your children with you when you do ministry.
It's absolutely essential because our God is a family man. He created family. This is how we grow up. This is the first fruit. This is where we raise our children and our arrows so that they're sharpened, so that they can read with comprehension, you know, what they can write, you know, with a great ability, and they can compute with accuracy. And that when they are launched from the bowl of family and church, when we let them go, they're going to fly straight and true right into the bullseye for their life. And they're going to do damage to the kingdom, to that false kingdom on this earth, the devil's little kingdom, the world, the flesh, the devil, and just take them out. And when they see it in action, in the streets, happening, they see the power of God actually taking place. When the kids see that, this is discipleship. Your children out there in the battlefield watching mom and dad go, what's going to happen is mom and dad, like me, I'm going to throw myself on the barbed wire and say, kids, get behind. Run right over my dead carcass and keep storming the gates of hell. And that's where the devil can't win that way. The gates of hell cannot prevail. Come on, church.
We're at the teen challenge now, so we're probably going to have to get off. You got a question real quick, though? Go ahead.
Yeah, so Flip, you took them there. They saw you get arrested. They weren't ashamed of you. They saw it as that's what Christians do, right?
They did, and they took the hit for me on HGTV. Listen, HGTV did not want to let them go. They were up, the up-and-comers. They were first before Chip and what's-her-name Gaines. I don't know, whatever they are, but there are some people. That was the show that they really wanted, those boys. And they had shot six hours worth of film for the show. It was amazing, but... But then the homosexual community came after them. I mean, the devil just used the homosexual, those poor people that are enslaved. I mean, the one thing, the opposite of homosexuality is not heterosexuality. It's holiness. They need dad's love. They're never going to find it in the arms of another man. They need father. Amen. Come on, coach.
Well, Flip, I want you to know that the seed that you planted in me has borne much fruit. I could tell you the guys that are in this queue that are doing stuff, and just publicly want to thank you, Flip, for having the courage to do what you know to be right, man.
Thank you, Coach. You're a blessing. I love you, brother. God bless everyone.
Amen. Thanks, Flip. Wow, huh? Wow. Mary Beth, come on in.
I wanted to ask Flip if his kids have a website, but I had a couple other things that I wanted to talk about. I really consider this a privilege. You know, God has privileged all of us to hear all these wonderful people. Anyway, you know, I get a kick out of how the Satan wants to make noise when Flip is doing his preaching, you know, just all that cacophony and all that confusion. And we had a pastor here that used to always ask me, how's your walk with the Lord today, Mary Beth? And I would tell him, I'm feeling a little conviction. But, you know, at the end, when he was not preaching anymore, he said, maybe I was too bold, too bold. And I said, no. You were not too bold. So just some things that came to mind when you guys were talking.
Yeah, people always say that. Say, you shouldn't be talking about that. Oh, hell, they'll talk about the Buckeyes and the Browns and all that kind of stuff, but you can't be talking about the Lord. No. You're a fanatic. Can't be doing that. By the way, Spencer, real quickly, type in BenhamBrothers.com. BenhamBrothers.com. B-E-N-H-A-M. BenhamBrothers.com. There they are, man. Put that in the chat. Own every area of your life, whatever the cost, and we can help you. Wow, huh? Woo-wee. There it is. Glenn, come on in.
Yeah. What I've come to appreciate is how Flip, he is the joyous, happy warrior.
He is.
When he speaks, he's convicting. All right. Yeah. He's powerful and convicting, but he always remains happy and joyful. It's just great.
Amen. It is, right? A happy warrior. He clearly is a happy warrior. If you can, I know you can. Pull up number four. And this is just a clip of Flip on evangelism at the gates of hell. Boy, Flip, you were younger then, brother. That's a long time ago. This, folks, this is so good. Hey, are you looking at me? Wherever you go to church, when's the last time your pastor took you outside the four walls? When's the last time he took you out where the big lions roar and speak the truth to him? And why don't we train? We see we're losing the battle because we are not been trained how to engage it, how to make the argument. Flip taught me this. One of the things that this is so important. When you get in an argument with a non-believer, they always want to tell you what they believe. And Flip never argued, ever argued. He would let them get done and he would say, thank you. Now, let me tell you what I think. He never debated with them. He just told them what he thought. And I think you'll find that. Tell them what you know. Don't tell them what you don't know. Did you guys hear that? Tell them what you know. Don't tell them what you don't know. So when somebody comes up to you on the streets and says, oh yeah, where do you think you get the right to tell a woman what she can do with her own body? Instead of arguing that, Flip would flip it over to the baby. Make it about the baby, a little baby created in the womb. Yeah? Never argue on their turf. That's one of the things I learned from it. Go ahead, play this real short clip. About a minute and a half.
Well, just this morning, we showed up at the gates of hell, an abortion mill, here in Orlando, Florida, and we gave them heaven, and two precious babies were saved. And I had the privilege of going and having breakfast with one couple who chose life and then chose Jesus. This is, we win more people to Christ by accident than some of the churches do on purpose when they practice all of their strategies. Why? Because we show up at the gates of hell. Do you know that in the year 1991, there were over 2,000 freestanding abortion mills in this country, over 2,000 of them. Today, this very day, there are 713 freestanding abortion mills. You have to stand back and figure, well, now what piece of legislation was it that changed all of this thing from 2,000 now to only 713? 40% of those doing abortions. They've stopped doing abortions. Norma McCorvey, the Jane Roe of Roe versus Wade, she was the poster child for the pro-choice movement, and she jumped right into the arms of Jesus. I mean, you just see the enemy's kingdom being pillaged as we approach the gates of hell. Dr. Bernard Nathanson, the founder of NARAL, has given his heart to Christ. He performed over 60,000 abortions. Can this Jesus do this? And how did they find out? Simple little Christians living out their faith in the streets at the gates of hell.
Wow. Jeff Klein, come on in.
Coach, do you remember when I think it was Missouri we went to? Cobblestone streets down that hillside. That big statue of Jesus up on that mountain lit up. I think must have been 150 feet tall. I mean, Flip was preaching, standing up on a little stone wall about 2 foot high. Didn't see this coming. He's got his Bible in front of him, and he's just giving it to him. The streets were lined with the homos and the enemy, and they were hating us in that town. That lesbian come up and punched him in the gut, right in the middle of preaching, and he bent over. He bent over. And he just kept right on preaching. We asked him that afterwards, how did you do that? I mean, she nailed him. Nailed him hard. Took the breath out of him. Had that little strip mall there in that area where that owner of that strip mall called the cops on us for preaching in there. And then what'd they do? We're leaving that hotel area, motel, that little campsite area we was at. And they had about 10 or 20 cop cars lined up on the highway for us to exit out of that parking lot to escort us out of town because of Flip Bennett.
Amen. And folks, the most joyous Christians that you would ever be around, the most joyous Christians you'd ever be around, Flip, Cal Zastro, Rusty, I can just go on and on and on with how incredibly amazing their ability to keep the people focused on Jesus. Mary Beth, your hand's still up. Did you want to come back in? Nope, she didn't want to. Well, it's open. Somebody can come rolling in here. So look. I'm getting old. I'm 73 years old. We got to leave a legacy, man. We got to leave a legacy. And it happens only when, as Flip would say, mom and pop Christians show up on the streets and get out to where the devil is roaring and roaming and going on. And David Arthur shows up the other day at the school board meeting, talks about transgenderism. The churches need to hear that stuff. We have been so indoctrinated by the world, the church I'm talking about, so indoctrinated by the world that we don't even understand how the argument is made. And to understand that we are in a war and there will be casualties. People may go to jail. That's part of it. Huh? John the Baptist, when he went to jail, Jesus didn't even go visit him. And when some of the disciples went to visit John the Baptist, you can read it in there. John the Baptist was ticked off. He said, I'm in jail. Jesus doesn't even show up. And the disciples went back to Jesus and said, hey, man, John's ticked at you, Lord. He says, why don't you come visit him? He said, do me a favor. He said, you go back and you tell John that the blind see, the lame walk. It ain't about you, John. It ain't about you. That's where we are, man. We're soldiers. Soldiers. Ray, come on in.
Yeah, Coach, I appreciate your efforts. And your initial contact with Flip is, you know, you just see the fruit continuing to drop off the vine. Amen. Because of what you encountered with Blip, we are encountering now. You're bringing in the next generation, basically.
Amen.
Of warriors out there. I just recall some of the great warriors that I've had an opportunity to rub shoulders with because of your ministry, like Chet Gallagher and Eva Adele and the Tennessee 11 that were down there standing up for truth with Cal Zestro. Man, it'd be great to just have a one by one, have some of them like Eva Adele back on. I appreciate seeing Flip again, and it encourages us to continue the fight when we see men like that out there.
Ray, thank you. Ray, we go back to when we did Operation Save America here in Columbus, Ohio. Every night after we do our street, that did the street ministry, we had a church service every night. We were in the town all week, every night. And you know what the biggest problem we had? Finding a church that would host us. Huh? What did they say about that in Book of Acts? These are the men who turned the world upside down. Do you think we're going to turn the world right side up with passive, lay in the pew Christianity? Do you really think that personalized Christianity is going to get the job done? Jesus said, go into all the world. Go, you got to go. Got to go.
Yeah.
One more thing. Come ye. Come ye. No, no, no. Go ye. Go ye.
One more thing, Coach. Talking about the church won't allow you into their building. I remember when OSA and I think Flip was there. I know Dale was there and Rusty Thomas down in Milwaukee. And there was about 300 of us showed up at the affiliated abortion mill. And they were so afraid of it, they shut the gates down that day. They had no, but we had church out there in front of that building. And it was the best church service I ever went to.
Unbelievable. Amen. Mary Beth, then hey, Spence, I want you to get ready. Get number six ready. I want people to hear a little bit of this. Go ahead, Mary Beth.
Coach, when I came there, it was both the most wicked time I've ever had in my life. Like for every wicked thing, you know, powers, principalities, rulers of darkness, for every single wicked thing that happened, God was right there. But when you said personalized Christianity, that's also the same initials of politically correct. But I also want to you to tell David's website, because I am going to encourage my sister and my niece who I, you know, there was just a huge spiritual battle in Rapid River this past week. And, you know, anyway, so just if you could say David's website, I'd appreciate it.
I belong. Amen. I belong. Amen.com. I belong. Amen.com. And hey, folks, the pastors won't even have him come in and talk about transgenderism.
Right? One more thing, Coach. We talked about Trump, and I mean, I needed to get home. I was tired. I needed to get home, and I'm like, I can argue with you guys all day, all day, all day. You know, but I started, you know, just tell me what you like about Trump. That's why I'm going to share the show, because they're just blind, and I want them to see, you know, I mean, it was just a huge, huge, huge battle between good and evil that.
Amen. Well, the battles for good and evil is out there all the time, is it not? Sure it is. Folks, hang on a minute. Spencer, I'm sending you something right now on your personal email. This really, I wasn't going to play this today, but it really struck me. You guys know who Lance Wallnau is, right? Lance Wallnau, Pastor Lance Wallnau. Pretty straight shooter, pretty good guy. And I saw this yesterday, and it almost humbled me. It did humble me. Because the reality of it is, we got to pick a team. Now, Lance Wallnau.
Here you got.
It's very short, pretty powerful, though. Go ahead.
So here you got Trump, who is just a human being, folks, who's trying to save America and is dealing with the threat of nuclear Iran. And you've got a principality that he's up against. But if you believe the word of God and you believe the Bible, and I'm talking to Christians in my audience, then your proper response is, well, is he even a Christian? You ought to be praying for him right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over every voice, over every harassment, over every spirit of agitation that is working to tear down the president's state of mind. And we ask you to give him wisdom from God, strength and direction, that you will cause peace to come upon him. And I pray, God, that you will intervene to send your hand to take hold of this power that is in the Middle East and pull it back in Jesus' name, that there can be an extension of grace in the Middle East for revival in Iran, for a harvest, for the church, that there will be a period of time of peace, that the gospel can go forth, and that America can find its awakening and realign itself in its rededication on May 17th. With you, oh Father, we pray. Cover this man, forgive him, and bless him, and give him strength in his battle and rest in his body, in Jesus' name. So here you
go. Wow. So there's a question, right? That's part of the delusion, the confusion we have going on right now. Christians don't know whether Trump's a good guy or a bad guy. I get emails all the time. Masonic, he's a Mason, he's making the Masonic sign. Maybe. I don't know. Are we praying for him, though? Are we praying for him? Are you, every day, as much as you bitch about him, are you praying for him? Because the Bible commands us to pray for our leaders, doesn't it? Praise is for those who are in authority. Pray that his eyes would be open. You heard Flip Ben saying, I don't even know if he's a Christian. Huh? He ain't no Christian. What do we, why do we expect? Okay, so this kind of self-promoting. Pull up, it says me, coach on a manhunt. I just want you to get a little feel for this. Sorry, Spence, that's not it. It says standalone email, coach on a manhunt. Didn't I send that to you or not? Maybe I didn't. Okay, hang on, it's coming right now. No, coach, don't do that. Hang on, folks. So nobody's got their hand up anyway. Spencer, I'm sending it to your direct email, okay? Oh, heck. Two, it didn't come up. There it is, two here. Boom. Okay. Coming to you. Throw that up there. Anybody else want to come in right now? We got 10 minutes left. I don't know why. I really don't even know what this clip is. I think I do. By the way, I don't know where the hell this was. There you got it. All right. Start at the beginning. Coach on a manhunt. This is at Operation Save America event. Go ahead. Play about 4 minutes of it. Wichita, Kansas.
I feel good. It's always an honor to be here and always an honor to be amongst the men and women. So many of you in here I admire more than you ever know. Mark Gabriel, I was thinking of you earlier today. And how you quietly serve. And your faithfulness. And I just want you to know, I know others do. Yeah. See, there aren't any of us as important as we think we are. Yeah. You understand that? Yeah. There isn't. And that's one of the things I think is really hurt in American Christianity, as I said the other morning, is the star syndrome. That everybody who gets on the platform, some big cheese. And that it kind of paralyzes the rest of us because we think, you know, golly, if I could be like him, if I just had those gifts, man, I would really use it. But we're all gifted in different ways. And the fact that you're not on the stage doesn't mean you're not gifted. And the truth is, you will go places Rusty won't go. You will talk to people that Chet won't talk to. You have an opportunity to serve the Lord right where you are. And if you open yourselves up, you quit thinking, have that poverty mentality about who you are, what your gift is. If you would understand that the Bible tells you that you will be brought before governors and kings, you will be brought before governors and kings as a testimony against them and the Gentiles. That you shall think not what you shall speak, for it shall be given unto you what you shall speak. For it's not you that speaks. It's your Father that speaks through you.
Hallelujah.
Open up your mouth. Allow the Spirit of the Lord to speak through you. As I said, I'm honored to be here. I want to do something right now, just real quickly. I want everybody to get out their cell phone, because I want you to type in something real quick. Go ahead and pray. Come on. You've all been wanting to check your email anyway. I know how that goes. Your text messages. Listen, I'm going to share something with you tonight. I'm having you get your phones out for a purpose. I'm on a manhunt. You understand what I'm telling you? I'm on a manhunt.
Yes.
And I believe that we're in the problem we're in America today because there aren't any men. There aren't any men. There are a lot of males. There are a lot of guys who are born male. See, you're a male by birth. But you're a man by choice. Yeah, we don't even know what that means anymore. And what I'm going to have you type in, it's not about me, but it's a vehicle that you can use. I'm finding this out, that there are by the thousands and thousands of men who love the Lord who are sick of church. Will somebody say amen?
Amen.
They're sick of the effeminized church. They're sick of going in there and singing sissified songs. They walk into the church. They understand something is terribly wrong in the culture, and there is absolutely no relationship from what they hear in the church to what they see going on out there. Yeah. And they dropped out. Well, they follow along. They come to church. They follow their wife into church. They sit down there, these type A personalities who run these multi-million dollar businesses and are great achievers in their lives. They come in church and they just become a bump on a log. Because they can't wait to rush home and watch Fox News so they can hear from Hannity and O'Reilly so somebody will try to connect to them exactly what's going on and what the solution is. Make America great again. And the church makes fun of Donald Trump. Where's the Christian Donald Trump? Where's that man that will stand forth like that and declare the truth that he's declaring and will take on political correctness? I'm not talking about Trump. Where are the men of God? Where have we been? And we've created Donald Trump. We have. Our sissified Christianity, men afraid to say anything, hiding behind their wives. Say, you don't have to say amen. It's probably hurting. I'm just telling you the truth.
Okay, stop. It's pretty good. Put it in the chat, right? Put it in the chat. And it is. Everything comes back to the men of God. That's why Flip mentioned the movie, and we ought to all go see that and understand these were men swimming upstream. Even the dead fish float downstream. You get that? And Christianity is floating downstream, afraid to make waves, afraid to make a difference, afraid, dare I say it, huh? Afraid they're going to make the wife mad and then the family doesn't come back to church anymore.
Boom.
And I'm going to tell you, for me, I'll get off this rant here in a second. I don't want to go to a sissy church. I don't want to go to a sissy church. I want to go to a church where they sing "Onward, Christian Soldiers." That's where I want to go. Not "Open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus." Those aren't the same thing, baby. That ain't the same spirit. That's what we do here. That's why a lot of people don't like it. Because if you're a man, you got the spirit of God inside of you. Why do we act like such sissies? Why are we afraid to confront the culture? Huh? That's why they say they don't want you to mix religion with politics, because that means somebody's going to hate you. Oh, can't have that. Jesus was love, 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 love. That's why I appreciate all of you being in here. A lot of you made a lot of enemies, and it's good. By the way, you didn't make any enemies. They were already your enemy. You just didn't know it. You just didn't know it. Exposed them. Go ahead, Mary Beth. Rescue me.
What's the name? You know what? I was telling my friend yesterday, because a lot of people, you know, just tell me they don't like to watch. And I'm going to challenge them today. You know, but, you know, like I feel like we're cut from the same cloth. Like I'm a big mouth, you know. I get myself into trouble. That's not even what I wanted to say, though. What's the name of the movie?
A Great Awakening. It's on the screen now. A Great Awakening. By the
way, I've lost
more friends than I've made. I've lost more than I've made. When you speak the truth, you will lose friends.
Well, I've lost a lot of my family, and that's hurtful to me. You know, that's hard. I don't care.
Suck it up, Buttercup. We're in a war.
In the end, I don't care. I don't care in the end. You know what I mean? I don't care.
Popularity contest. I do it for the applause of two nail-scarred hands.
Yeah.
That's what I'm after.
Yep.
Come on in, Betty.
Hey, man, you're nailing it, Coach. I went out yesterday. Yeah, last week was a lot easier standing out there because it was pouring rain and they couldn't yell through the window. But yesterday was unbelievable. One lady said we were traumatizing her children and you should not be doing that. And they called the cops. Yeah. And then, you know, and I didn't give a chance to tell her that's the whole idea. That's why I'm out here. We need some attitudes and minds, you know. And then
I'm trying to traumatize the parents. That's what I'm trying to do.
Exactly. And then the second lady come and she kept screaming at me saying that I was killing women and that I should work at the food pantry. Because what I was doing, I was going to be held accountable to Jesus. And I said, well, that's fine. I know I'm being accountable, knowing where I'm going. Where are you going? And my gosh, those guys just kept shaking. The guys that were with me couldn't believe. She just kept ratting on and on and on. So I guess I murder women because they go murder their babies.
Betty, I got to get this in here real quick. I'm about out of time. I'm going to go upstairs here in a minute. My wife's going to say, what were you yelling about? So, I'm not angry. It just sounds like angry. And by the way, why the hell aren't you angry? Why aren't you angry at what's going on and what they're doing to our children, our neighbors' children? Why aren't you angry? See you tomorrow.